Hey everyone, Adam D here, coming to you from the unfiltered underbelly of the Las Vegas Convention Center. Yeah, normally they don't let you in here.
We had to sneak in.
Yeah, so this is coming to you, not live, but we are recording this at DEF CON on Friday. It's at the end of the first day at about 4, I was going to say 20, but I don't want people out there to get any ideas. 4:18 p.m. right now. I have with me the man.
Hello, hackers.
From that, he doesn't even need anything else.
Exactly. It's it has been kind of a strange DEF CON.
I noticed something weird. We're not really, really drunk right now. So
yeah, exactly.
How did the AICC announcement go?
AICC announcement went. So here's the thing to build the full suspense.
All right. Right. Suspend the people.
Even everyone is, you know, how did we do? How did everyone? And obviously we have these now deeper personal connections with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I walk into the room and I'm going, good luck, good luck. And I'm like, wait a second. But yeah, no, good luck. And they're saying, good luck. And so it's just such a different world because in the CyberGrand Challenge, the entire final round took place live. And we were sitting on couches in the team area of this massive room, just kind of sitting around for 8 hours. And everyone is like, here I am. And there's the enemy, and there's the enemy, and there's the enemy. And by the end, it was like, hey, you know, let's talk. But it felt
very
different.
To make small talk and connections when you're so nervous about what the outcome is.
Yeah.
It's just
And that base hadn't been there, like the connection. So here, that was cool. We show up. You ran in last minute because your
challenge I didn't know where it was.
Down.
And yeah, exactly. So like me surprised me yesterday by being like, your challenge is CPU intensive, and so it's going to be the first challenge that launches.
So it can go alone, yeah.
So we can check. No. So they can test load and everything and make sure that if it broke anything else, it would work. And I was like, okay, great.
Cool.
Exactly.
Right. So then, anyways, ran in, everyone sits down, they start talking, and then eventually they start putting out anonymized statistics.
Mm.
When they put out the anonymized statistics for the CRSs, different CRSs on one row and in on every row, and then on the columns is the vulnerability sites that they were able to find, and one row is blank.
Yes, so did not find any of the synthetic vulnerabilities.
One CRS suffered the fate that everyone dreads, and that is we created this crazy, complex, powerful system, and their system was crazy, complex, and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Something went wrong,
and
it's likely something small, but the systems can't recover from stubbing their toe, and so we the moment all the teams saw that, everyone was thinking, oh God, that one fucking last bug got us.
Yep.
Right, and so the rest of the time, it turned out for, please let us have one $4 million. Please let us do. Oh my God! Please let us not have crashed. Please let us. Not.
Yes.
And
that
so
was,
then, when it turned out that we, spoiler alert, we did not win.
That's why
any
we're not
of the
super
top
drunk.
Three. Exactly, and we're not.
It's spoiling that we weren't that last team because we're also not super drunk.
Exactly. When it turned out we weren't the last team, we're like, okay, phew. But the last team are great people. We've interviewed them on the podcast, and they had an amazing cyber reasoning system.
Yeah.
And
which
I
found O-Days.
Yes.
Like their system did find O-Days. So by that, we were like, oh no, somebody did horribly, like didn't work. Yeah. But actually, they did find stuff.
Yes.
So.
And so even that, it just then kind of something happened, and it seized up. So I went and found them afterwards, and I just hugged them.
That's great. I'm glad.
So that Anyways, Shellfish got fifth place.
Yep.
It is not a paying position, unfortunately. So we're not. We only have the 1 million left. You know, don't have an influx of awesome new sushi money. But given how that announcement, that roller coaster ride, because there were other things. It's like, you know, I think.
They announced achievements, basically. Yeah. They had two achievements per team that they went through. And so these were badges that they had done. And some of them were really cool. Like, I think the Shellfish one that was super impressive was we were the most accurate on patching. Like, over 95% accuracy on patching, which is wild.
Which, quite frankly, is crazy because there's no way that's worse than humans. Because I have patched software. And I've patched software in tense situations, and I've patched software in non-tense situations, and probably in tense situations, I have a success rate of probably 30%. You should probably leave it unpatched. And in non-tense situations, maybe 80, I don't know, but like not 95.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Exactly. So that was great. The other thing, it was, you know, being able to talk to the teams and understand the systems, like, A, just like you, I was like, actually genuinely happy for the teams when they went up there and collected their giant checks.
Yeah.
You know, and you also understood their system, so you could see that, like, Theory had some achievement that got third place, which is incredible, right?
Yeah.
And they got an achievement that was something like the least amount of some dollars spent or something.
LLM credits per bug found.
Yeah, which when you remember, like, wait a minute, no, they're the LLM heavy one. Yeah. They should be hard in that.
And that's, so talking to them afterwards, they're like, when we saw that, we were thinking, oh no, we're the ones.
We were
that,
the one at the bottom,
And no, they pulled it off great. Yep. I mean, which is incredible, right? So their system might have had a bug and didn't even do as well as it could have, which is also heartbreaking, but it's hard to be heartbroken with $1.5 million.
I think eventually you will get over it and you'll fix those bugs and it'll be like the CGC is now, right?
Yeah,
it's
and
a distant
fact,
memory and people have built on it.
Talking to them, they've continued to build on it, right? They found a lot of bugs afterwards when they started applying it to more and more things. And they are, and actually that holds for every team.
Yeah.
You know, Shellfish, we're taking parts of our CRS and evaluating scientifically, you know, these individual components.
Right.
Like, oh, fuck, you know, this doesn't work. So I'm sure every CRS had some factor that was very hard to quantify.
Probably and except for one team.
Yeah, probably except for one team. Hopefully. But that is like how much, you know, a reduction in efficacy factor that their CRS is like, you know, could have done X times better or whatever, some percentage. But so third place, Theory. Second place was Trail of Bits.
Yeah.
Which, if you remember, listeners, they focused on having a functional CRS at all times and, you know, always had a minimum viable product that they expanded and kept running.
Yeah.
So that was that clearly paid off. That was awesome. First place, Team Atlanta.
Absolutely crushed it too. That's like
not just first place. Yeah, not squeaked it out.
No, this is not. Yeah, it wasn't close.
I think it was like
it looks very clearly like it was.
It's just 150% of the something like that. Like they're over 300 points in the end, and the second and third had 219 and 209, something like that, right? Yeah. Like not exact numbers, but you know they really blew it out of the park. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we interviewed them, because they had one of the most unique designs where they had these three cyber reasoning
triple systems, CRS and redundant, not just redundancy, but there was design level redundancy.
Yes,
where the
exactly.
CRSs themselves
three different
were
approaches.
Different approaches.
And we. And they had the academic side of the team, and then they had a very, very powerful engineering side of the team from Samsung. So the academics from Georgia Tech, engineering from Samsung. And that, I remember when the podcast finished, after every interview, Adam and I would call each other, and we were like, whoa, they're so crazy. And Adam calls me, and he's like, I'm scared, man.
Yeah, I was after that one.
That many professional engineers full-time on this effort, I'm scared.
Plus with the strength of the research. Like, I mean, I know Taesu. Know the cool research that he does in this area. Like, and the fact that he was directly leading the team.
With the integrating. Mm-hmm. He's directly integrating. Yeah. So that, I mean, I think it's a great, example of very good, almost like built-in technology transition. Mm-hmm. Because at Live, they were inventing this stuff. Again, they were the only team that had fine-tuning of a local model, for example, to help them analyze.
It'll be super interesting tearing these things apart, doing kind of ablation studies, understanding what components did what, how their multi-CRS approach worked. Maybe one of their CRSs was... Maybe each individual CRS was actually worse than the other teams, but combined, that's what got them there.
So that's very, very interesting result. I mean, would have loved to win top three. I think probably on... I don't know. How do you feel?
I feel fine just because I've been so stressed about this challenge and the fact that my challenge seems to be holding water that I am... I honestly haven't had a ton of time to process. I mean, I think, like, even after the announcement, I actually, when Theory was third, I was like, okay, I think we're fucked. I was like, fuck, I had them as, like, top three. And if they're third, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. And then after the Trail of Bits announcement, I was like, it's either Team Atlanta or, like, it's just like, I was hoping, but, you know.
Yeah.
So I think... You know, I'm very proud of the team, the system that they built. Like, I think those are the important things in being here, and especially seeing the team as like, hey, this isn't the end of the line. It's like the start of a process. So, and seeing like the strength of the patching. Like, I think that, you know, there are definite, insanely cool things about the system and the approach. That's awesome.
I think in terms of our system specifically, like the patching, 95% patch rate is insane.
Yeah.
Patch success rate, like that the patch was correct, didn't break functionality, etc. The other thing is in our kind of follow-on experiments, the O-days popping out are really exciting too. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very, very confident about the quality of the system. I think it's very cool. In terms of the placement, I think in the CyberGrand Challenge, and I feel for the students... more in that as a student you have a much more localized view of the space, and so you know our approach didn't win and thus that's such a big impact from our vantage point, right? Like, you know, as a student I wasn't talking to the other teams, I wasn't but I think we're because we deal with more of the space, I'm very excited. Hey, look how well this approach did. And now 100%. It's open source and we can
And everyone's system is open source. So
exactly.
As you go forward, like people are gonna learn from and take the approaches that other teams have done if they continue to commercialize and progress their CRS. Andrew mentioned in his talk that there's funding opportunities, it sounds like, for the team. So that's great.
That's
to, like,
all, yeah, to
continue
keep
pushing
it,
this stuff forward. Like, I think, you know, and maybe it's because we have the like a step back in terms of weren't super in the weeds on stuff, but also the perspective of time, right?
Yes.
We've kind of seen this stuff over the decade. You've seen personally how the CGC went up and down, you know, and so and what happened afterwards. And so
exactly. And I also saw in the CGC the awesome impact that 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th place continued to have.
Yes. Yes.
Which I
even
think is
very
hard. Even
people that didn't qualify, like Trail of Bits.
Exactly.
I think it was like
lacrosse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had an incredible impact in cybersecurity in succeeding years. And then they all showed up to this competition. And so it's hard to convey that to the students.
Yes.
Because,
maybe you are right now. But
well, hopefully,
it's one of these things, like you can tell people this, but like... Their emotional experience is going to be different, and so that's just the way it is sometimes.
So my family was all watching the live stream.
Oh, so was my family. Yeah. They were texting me,
and
they were like, "Oh, great, you guys got best telemetry." I was like, "That was actually an insult."
Yeah, well, telemetry.
I mean, not like an intentional insult, but like of all the awards you could get,
Okay, yes.
I would much rather we found the most.
But me and you, because of this telemetry, have receipts printed by the artificial receipt printer.
I don't know that DARPA has that. I don't know that that's what that's based on. But yes, we do have our.
Yeah, I don't know what we were sending to DARPA, actually. But So the family was, you know, that my mom texted me afterwards and she's like, don't be sad. And I'm like, I'm not sad.
Yeah, I'm actually not either. I think it's like, it's a.
It would have been great to win top three.
Would I be super ecstatic if we had won? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we would have definitely been a lot more.
This would have been more crazy. But
I haven't even eaten today.
Okay, well, that's silly. You should fix that.
Yeah, that was not on purpose.
David Brumley gave us the organizers. He'd set it up in advance. He's getting us lunch.
Yeah, that's because he's a classy guy, and you guys are important. No one's getting DEF CON Academy lunch. Huh? Where's DEF CON Academy's lunch?
You're organizing this. You're responsible for this.
I should have organized the
lunch.
Looks
in the camera.
That
what?
You think about it, yeah. Anyways, I had a pickle.
Okay,
it's not that I haven't
Speaking
eaten
Speaking of Zardes' pickle, we should probably break here, and maybe we'll hopefully record.
Okay. A lot of cool stuff coming, maybe in this same episode, or maybe in different ones. So we're planning to close out the AICC coverage. We're going to talk to big people in the AICC, millionaires, newly minted millionaires.
Newly minted.
It's going to be awesome. So stay tuned.
Yeah, now when you go to visit the Georgia Tech Team Atlanta building, because they get to name the new building that they're going to build with all that money, that'd be great.
That'd be good.
All right. See you at the next whatever we end up doing. God damn it. All right. Hey, everyone. We're here now, still at DEF CON. Everyone is definitely doing normal things. We are super excited to kind of cap our AICC experience by having the originator of the AICC and the finisher of the AICC. I don't know if that's
opener, the
visionary. So we have Perry, who actually started with us when she announced it 2 years ago. So she's a returning guest on the podcast. And we have Andrew Carney, who's here with us. So maybe we can have you quickly introduce yourselves. And Perry, you go first.
So my name is Perry Adams. I'm the creator of AICC. But actually, I got my start playing Capture the Flag against these guys, both as another team and against them when we were a team and they were the organizers.
Wow. Wow.
Against that, the latter one is really against. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, and that was not fair because that year we had 24 teams, right? So it was 24 against one.
That's true.
Bad ratios.
A lot of my experience playing Capture the Flag and engaging with that community fed into the idea of AICC and the creation of the competition. It was very formative.
So quick tangent of that year. Our first year, 2018, hosting DEF CON CTF. We have 24 teams, and that means that when we launched, without not really knowing what we were into.
Or doing.
Yeah, immediately everyone started hammering on the infra, even though the rules say you don't hack the infra.
Right.
But people will still find bugs and report them to you, which is really nice. And we were suddenly overwhelmed with, like, I don't know, numerous reports of, hey, you guys use SSH for us to, you know, get push patches for our services, and you forgot to disable remote port forwarding, stuff like that.
Oh, that's right.
One of those came from, I think, from RPISec. There was an unauthenticated endpoint that they found.
Yes.
I learned, I think, a lot that CTF year. I also enjoyed the location of the competition. One thing I remember is just how bad the internet connectivity was.
We learned a ton.
I got, contrary to most CTFs, a lot of exercise running USB drives from the suite to the floor.
Oh, the sneaker net.
Yeah. So that was good.
Which, another bit of CTF trivia, the sneaker net approach to CTF specifically was, as far as I know, pioneered by Team Samurai. To win DEF CON in Legit BS's first year, or DD Tech's last year? When did they?
when DEF CON.
So, I guess it wouldn't be DDD Detect.
Incredible.
Yeah, this is, of course, a hypothetical story. Yeah,
entirely.
It's, yeah.
CTF knows no bounds.
Yeah. Meanwhile, us as organizers, every once in a while, we're up on the stage, et cetera, and hotel security comes up. And
it's just
like, we're looking for such a
2019 person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. We're like, we don't know who that is. It's definitely somebody we didn't hear about or was a PhD advisor of ours. Like, we don't know who that person could possibly be.
At least at DEF CON, you've got a huge, like you've got a stack of needles, right, to find that needle in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, plenty of folks to blend in with.
Yeah. How many Italians could there possibly be at DEF CON? Yeah,
exactly. That's the kind of beauty of DEF CON in some sense, which is kind of might bring us eventually around to AICC.
Well, first though, Andrew, you also got a little bit of your start playing CTF.
I did. So what year was Shellfish like first formally a team?
2005 okay, was first formally a team.
So my first DEF CON and also my first CTF and also the only time I've been on a first place team was 2008. So we played against, you were my first opponents in my first.
Wow.
And the thing that I remember the most, I'm Andrew Carney. I'm a program manager at ARPA-H and DARPA, and I have had the distinct honor and pleasure of fielding AICC from Perry's amazing beginnings to its current glorious end. But yeah, I remember that first year being overwhelmed, like not sleeping at all. It was amazing. And the coolest part, though, was immediately after the finals were announced, or the results were announced, all the teams just got together and immediately, like, obviously some people had known each other for years, and everybody just started sharing stories. Like, it was an immediate kind of, like hot wash of everything that happened, and everyone was, like, drinking and hanging out, and, like it was just so lovely, so collaborative. And that was really just such a lovely intro. I mean, also after that, like, no sleep 72-hour.
Oh, yeah. It's like the delirium of happy of just being done and also winning. And yeah.
So the internet shenanigans that I was most involved in before I stopped playing, when they moved to the Rio, the internet connectivity in the conference center was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd had a couple of different previous systems to try to get passable internet to the table.
Such a universal problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually came out early, looked to see if we could do point-to-point from other hotels, and got some different microwave setups. rented some commercial point-to-point systems to see if we could actually create a point-to-point network with like a small number of hops to actually get connectivity to the floor.
This is how they do high-frequency trading.
I mean, it did not work, to be clear. We relied primarily on...
This is
The only successful version of CTF internet, hypothetically, that I ever saw, hypothetically...
Somebody
was... So the mini bars and hotels, if you take anything out of it, it's connected to the internet. And there's
FridgeNet is what we called it.
Yeah. FridgeNet.
I mean, somebody called it.
Someone called
whoever
it.
Did FridgeNet, I've heard it. Whoever did FridgeNet, hypothetically... A plus.
What's the bandwidth like on FridgeNet? Like,
it's better because it's wired.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So our story is 1 year. It was probably 2011. Actually, I'm fine with this because it was because it was in the room. So we had really bad internet like in the room at the CTF, and so we scoped out other rooms, found a talk room and an Ethernet jack, and then ran a giant cable just around. And then we had the best. It was like the best experience we've ever had until Dustin came over and yelled at us. So it's like, you need to take that cord out or I'm just DQing your entire team.
Man.
It wasn't as funny as the year that someone kept finding Fantas hidden in these wall panels in the hotel.
Wow.
That was someone on your team. Yeah, there's just wall panels. You take them out.
Fantas?
No, Fantas. Just like cans of like Fanta.
That's pretty good. Just stash there for a rainy day.
Emergency Fanta.
How long does Fantas last? I feel like this. All right. So nothing about that. I was going to say.
We've established our cred.
Exactly.
So what networks have you hacked on, people? Maybe you too could be create a giant competition. Okay, so looking back, maybe we can, because we've talked to all the teams in the finals. We had the announcements. There's been a lot of great events that'll be online and talks recorded. So what from the, you know, either capture the flag hacker perspective. So maybe Perry, we can start with you. How did you see the results? Like looking back, like
Where are we now compared to where you started and thought about this 2 years ago?
Well, actually, when putting together the competition, every time an idea first comes to first comes into being, there's a lot of perspectives on that idea. And so this is 2 years ago, and it's maybe hard to remember, but there was a lot more skepticism of AI, especially as AI applied to program analysis than there is today. And so actually, when we started the competition, there was a lot of feedback that AI wouldn't be effective, that this was a hype, this was jumping on a hype train, and that this was a waste of time to pursue AI for vulnerability discovery. AI was also much less effective 2 years ago. But if you look at those trend lines, right, extrapolation is always a dangerous game. But DARPA is about putting big bets, making big bets, and seeing them to fruition. And I think that in this case, the bet has really played out quite nicely. I'm really, really impressed by the team's results. I think everyone, all seven of the teams in finals, put their hearts and souls into the competition. And you saw skeptics converted to believers. I was talking to some of the folks that competed in the semifinals and the finals. It's made it through all the way to the end, even placed. And I said, I remember talking to you last year and at the beginning of this competition, and you said, well, I'm going to compete, but I don't think LLMs are going to be that game changing. And now you're here extolling to me the value of LLMs. And I think that has been a really, really phenomenal aspect of the competition, is you got experts in their field, in program analysis, to embrace with alacrity this new technology by making it, gamifying it, and putting significant prize money on the line to make it worth it. And then bringing in those AI experts into the challenge as well.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. We didn't talk to a single person who didn't become a convert, which is very interesting, the whole competition.
He's shaking the camera. He's like an insane person. We're recording a thing, and he's just shaking the thing.
How'd you deal with it? I would say I was interested in the opposite, where you were seeing, I was just talking about this with Dr. Kemp on the winning team. You're seeing far less use of, for instance, symbolic execution than I think was initially expected by some of the teams, or much more combined use of symbolic group and call execution with LLMs. And that's a really interesting result as compared to past competitions in the space. And I think part of that is by using real world software for the competition, moving away from a gamified environment makes symbolic execution much less, I think, my hypothesis when starting the challenge is that it would be much less effective in a real-world environment without combination with LLMs. And I think that that has been a result of the competition that I was not surprised to see, but I think is a really important benchmark in this research space.
Yeah, great. I definitely agree. Andrew, what do you think now that you've, you know, it's a year, I can't remember exactly when you took over, so my timing may be a little off, but, you know, looking back, like, what's kind of your reflections on the competition?
I mean, I think I remember, when Perry, the first time you talked to me about AICC, I mean, even before
you were one of those many perspectives she was talking about.
Perhaps.
Andrew was always very, very excited about the competition. Andrew always saw the vision.
And part of that too was the open source requirement for the teams, which was not. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but was, you know, that getting consensus that was like the right path forward was not a trivial feat for you, I think, but it was the right move, and because I think it changed the conversation today, right? That like one of the pieces with, I think, kind of black box, you know, magic solutions or anything that's hype hyper vibey, is trust and like transparency, and the idea that you can, you know, do these incredible things, and then obviously the benefit I think collectively is huge, just being able to share that knowledge, but also you trust it because you know what it's doing, right? You know that like this is not just a set of black boxes, like the Russian doll black boxes, mm-hmm. right, that are uninterpretable. These are complex systems doing interesting things with interesting, hard to understand technology, but at least we understand a whole lot more of it. Yeah, just the ability, thinking back on that, my first, you know, DEF CON CTF, like folks were immediately sharing mm-hmm. strat. Like, no, it didn't feel like people were holding back. They were immediately able to have these immensely collaborative discussions
yes.
that moved the CTF space forward.
Yeah.
And so having the open source requirement really feels like it moves the field forward in such a dramatic way that where everyone is able to kind of partake.
And I think that was one of the aspects of the competition about which people had many differing perspectives,
mm-hmm.
but I would say it was never it was never a point of debate. That was going to be the way we ran the competition,
mm-hmm.
or there was going to be no competition, because without the open source requirement, you really do not have a competition worth doing, because these tools really require community effort mm-hmm. and engagement to take them to the next level. There's also not as much of a immediate commercial interest in securing software as we'd like. This is why the US government has historically played a really large role.
Mm-hmm.
But there is actually commercial interest when you frame it and tee it up well. And I think that's something that the design of the competition has done. That's something Andrew's done in leading the competition in the finals. That's something that all of the teams have done. What we've seen is these university teams, the professors leading them, are worried they're going to lose PhD students mm-hmm. because all of them have offers from the big AI yes. labs. It came at the right time for this. And what excites me so much about that is not just that we're seeing commercial interest in this technology, maybe not as folks originally envisioned it, but I think in a way that will be really effective, but that we're also seeing at the advent, at this crucial time when it comes to these AI coding pieces of software, hopefully what we'll see is the integration of program analysis, vulnerability discovery, security
right.
tools in that software from the experts in that space who worked on this competition.
And I think beyond the code, the other thing is the data from the competitions too, right? Mm-hmm. As like, maybe it wasn't as clear 2 years ago that like data sets are so critical to improving these AI tools, right? They're sucking in everything, and the better benchmarks we have, the better data that we have. So having the data of the competition be available mm-hmm. is yeah. so great.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
I was gonna say, after the CGC, we tried to write a research paper with the other top teams,
mm-hmm.
and it just really quickly collapsed because everyone's like, "We're not going to talk about anything."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Well,
mm-hmm.
what are you?" So the paper mm-hmm. didn't go anywhere. That was at the CGC with AICC, like this season of CTF Radio. Everyone's talking about everything.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Open science, I think, is really important. I think what we've seen more broadly in the AI space is that there's a huge amount of of what makes a good commercial product that goes into the productization, mm-hmm. the infrastructure, the work that goes into commercializing it. And that's not something that a gamified environment is going to do. So even if you
right.
have this open source technology, this allows folks to then go and build a really effective product.
And since we're here at, I think Andrew mentioned this, we're here at DEF CON, right? This is a very, like, mm-hmm. the CTF players were sharing information, but that's also, like, the point of DEF CON is to come together, share mm-hmm. research through the talks, mm-hmm. but also informally. So I think that synergy is very...
Mm-hmm. I think one of the interesting, I think, distinctions, too, for AICC is private benchmarks. So one of the issues with right LLMs is, and a lot of the papers, not throwing shade on any particular mm-hmm. researcher, but papers, even like model pinning is not sufficient. Like, it's really hard to actually use publicly available data
right.
To test the true capabilities of the models. And so private benchmarks, like the way that the AICC challenges were developed,
mm-hmm.
where the teams had no foreknowledge of the specific challenges in finals, none whatsoever. I think that was like, we gave you the hardest form of the problem in a lot of ways within that kind of gamified environment. And so I think it's going to be really exciting to see like, what's that, what's the minimum amount of additional information that really like accelerates and you know, as a force multiplier for the kind of future developed tech. Like, I suspect there are some really like interesting inflection points on sort of performance when you start adding in additional information, but it's probably
iterating on those results too, right? Yes. Is being able to like learn from even the high level or maybe some detailed stuff, like really push these systems to where they need to go. So it sounds like you don't see this as the end of AICC or the end of, let's say, automated cyber reasoning systems.
I don't think what was done here, like the impact will continue to sort of echo like into like. Things have changed, I think, fundamentally, like by making everything open source based on the performance combined of all the teams. Like, you guys did something incredible, and that's the new floor, that's the new bar for a lot of this. And so, I think it's going to have be that shove, right? That big push like we've all been talking about leveraging these tools better and iterating on it. But I think, you know, I see a continuing importance for kind of private benchmarks so that we can have a neutral, like, where to make that data truly valuable, it has to be kind of pristine and like unbiased, right?
Right.
So I think private benchmarks will be a big, play a big part there. But also just program understanding, right? Like, I think one of the promises of LLMs that like it's all program understanding it reduces down to program understanding in a lot of ways. So like designing more complex systems, like doing more computationally with hardware we have, there are all these optimization problems that are potentially, you know, are out of reach of individuals or even small groups, but like maybe we can leverage a gajillion GPUs, you know, or the right models, the right ensemble of models to take on problems like this. And so I think program analysis, like without sounding too dramatic, like potentially unlocks, you know, a lot of different kind of avenues of technological progression outside of just software security through really understanding, like true program understanding.
And I really agree with that. I think that this is just the beginning, actually. Mm-hmm. Now that everything is out there, you're seeing teams already scheduled to do talks about the tools that come out to talk about their technology, to actually be able to extol it. I mean, I've had a lot of requests to come chat about this, and I've had to say, okay, folks, once August happens, then we can go and talk about what we're seeing come out, et cetera. I assume Andrew's the same. I think that
what
comes out in the next year, the papers, the tooling, how people build on top of it. We saw that in CGC. I think we're going to see that. We're going to see that here. So I think the fun is just beginning.
Yeah, for sure. So bring it back to Capture the Flag, CTF Radio.
I've heard of it.
Why should the CTF players care?
Oh, that's great.
Why should the CTF players care
about the results of the ASCC and the systems?
The first answer is that I think that program analysis tools, automatic vulnerability discovery tools, are actually most effective in a gamified environment in which you can apply a number of pre-known constraints that you can't on real-world software. Mm-hmm. So simply from a team tooling perspective, this is great stuff. I mean, honestly, not to throw shade on the anger, but I've seen anger used the most in CTF. I've also seen it used in real-world contexts. But
which makes sense. The constrained environment of a CTF, the constrained input.
And actually, from a automatic analysis perspective, where we've seen a lot of impact, even from those kinds of tools, is in the real world when folks are able to pre-design vertically, integrate vertically, entire system that's designed for these tools. But I also think there's going to be interest simply because I was just talking about this with Dr. Kim. There are what teams compete in AICC that don't have at least a couple CTF players or former CTF players on the team. There's a reason.
Yeah, they were DevScore root, right? When they won DEF CON our first year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Many of them.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone, but well, there's overlap there. Mm-hmm. That's
big,
what I'm saying.
Big overlap. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the other reason perhaps is that CTF organizers have also like seen the competition results. And if past CTF organizers' choices on making players' lives hell are any indication, I suspect there will be some seriously interesting challenges that have leveraged the technology either in their development or potentially as some live element. I don't know. I could see a lot of ways to really challenge players with CRS flavored.
Yeah. Or the opposite. When I wrote a challenge 2 years ago for DEF CON CTF, it had some annoying RSA math in it that makes it really actually difficult to automatically analyze a program. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of that, more of that as well.
We saw it with the emergence of anger. Mm-hmm. So suddenly reversing challenges became very different to defend themselves. The interesting thing with that was anger evolved, and you could use it very cleverly to bypass a lot of these so-called protections against it. I think you'll see that at DEF CON Quals this year, ChatGPT straight up solved a crypto challenge for us in a one-shot way. It was absolutely unhinged to see. So I think that that's going to be very interesting. I don't know if you heard this rumor. I won't name names because maybe they want to talk about it on their own terms. But one of the AICC cyber reasoning systems is being used at DEF CON CTF.
That is not surprising at all. Like,
wow.
Good luck.
Good luck to them. All right. Well, we have to let Perry and Andrew go. So thank you both so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it. It was lovely.
And thank you for your service to the community. I think that's the other aspect. Like, building something like this takes a lot of time, sweat, tears, effort. Like, I know there was a ton of work that you both put in to make this happen, and so I think the community is going to benefit and going to continue to benefit from it. So thank you.
And thank you to the two of you as well. I think you two have done quite a bit for the community here as well.
We're trying. All right. See you, everyone.
Goodbye, hackers.
This episode of CTF Radio is produced by Adam Dupay. Theme music provided by Swarty. Lyrics by Carly Dupay.
Algorithms, Easter eggs, it's all about the hack. Python, chaos, nights of sleep never getting back. Noob or leak, make your best attack. Because it's all for the glory of capturing that flag. Algorithms, Easter eggs, it's all about the hack. That's all you need to know.